Hebrews chapter 4 this morning, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them which heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he did. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had not given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the infeeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Father, we thank you this morning for the spirit of revelation of your word and the light of life that you place within us. And Father, today we just bless you as the giver of all life, the giver of all knowledge and all understanding. And Father, the one that possesses the peace that surpasses all understanding. And Father, we thank you for that peace that you have given unto us. Because before Jesus left this earth, he said, my peace I give unto you. So Father, that is a possession that we can now possess. Not some futuristic hope, but Father, it's a now possession that we have access into. And Father, may we boldly claim our peace, that we can truly be the sons of God upon the face of this earth. We love you. We bless you today. Amen. Okay, back to the first verse. Let us therefore fear. That word fear is not being afraid. There's a reverence involved in this. Let's be reverential about this thing. Lest a promise being left to us of entering into his what? What does that word rest mean? Well, in a sense, it can mean rest, but there's another sense to it. It's a resting place. See, like I can enter into his rest, but no, I can enter into his abode or his resting place. Okay? Now, his resting place, where would that be? Where does he dwell? In you. See? So I really can't enter into the dwelling place, which is within me, see, as long as I have unbelief, can I? See? Now, we can talk all we want to. We can dance, we can shout, we can do anything we want to. But until this unbelief has gone out of our minds, this duality in our minds, we can't come to that place. We've got to get rid of something. We've got to empty the ship, like in Acts 27, 19. You've got to lighten the ship with your own hand. You've got to come to a place where you realize that this stuff that I'm packing through this life is not as important. And Bob, I'm watching that line. You've got to realize that this stuff that you're packing isn't worth anything. It's worthless. It's like walking through the desert with a handful of sand saying, I can't lose my sand. Well, pick up a handful when you leave if you got to have it. You know, why do I want to pack sand? I don't need it, do I? Drop it. It don't mean nothing. And if you got stuff in your hands, if things of this life is more important, you can't come in. Because nothing enters into the Holy of Holies except the Spirit. So that means nothing natural is going in. Does that make sense? If nothing natural is going in and I want to be in there, guess what I got to do? Don't be like that silly monkey. You know what the silly monkey did? You know how they catch the silly monkeys? They're easy. They take a coconut and put a little trinket in there. Something flashy that his eyes looks at. Cut a hole in the side of it, just big enough to put his fist in, to put his hand in. Well, they can make him little hands just squeeze right up and stick right there. And as soon as they get a hold of it, they go like this. And that monkey's so stupid, he's so beastly, he won't turn loose that little trinket just like us. And he can't get away. And they walk up and just pick him up. Easy, see? That beast nature in him, he won't turn loose of the trinket. That's what we do. We hold on to things that don't mean a thing. Has anybody took it with them? I don't think so. See? It's trinkets. I don't care what value man has assessed onto value of gold, diamond, silver, whatever, platinum, all these rare metals and jewels and things. It don't mean squat. I see these people in antiques and people paying for something, a letter somebody wrote, pay $150,000 for a piece of paper someone wrote because it's 100 years old. Why? There's no life in that thing. It's a piece of paper with ink on it. What's the difference? You know, people have funny trinkets. And see, that's that monkey holding on that little trinket and can't get out. You give up their life over a little trinket. That's what everybody does. Man, just let the trinkets go and you're free. You can climb back up and run through the trees. Don't be the silly monkey. Okay? But he said, this thing about rest, at least any of you... a promise being left us of entering into his rest or his resting place, any of you should seem to come short or fall short. We don't want to miss this, do we? See? So we've got to realize we've got to watch something here. Because, verse 2, to us was the gospel preached as well as to them, but the word preached, and that word right there, word, is logos, and the word preached is not the word preached. The word right there is the word logos, the spiritual word, and the next word is heard. So, as well, the gospel was preached as well to them, but the word heard did not profit them. See what I mean? The word is heard. So the word that they heard did not profit or benefit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard. I can hear truth, but it does me no good if it's not mixed with the faith of God in me. Do you hear me? There's people that's hearing truth all over this world, and they're not changing because it's not being mixed with faith. Well, good is it? Might as well go hear some of these, what do they call these inspirational speakers they got out? I can't think what they are now. Huh? Well, okay, it'd work, yeah. You know, these people that have these supposedly great messages. But you know what? When you go to hear these great messages, if they have some life to give you, why is there a dollar sign on it? Why is there, he said, freely you received, freely give it. You know, I'm giving people a bad reputation around here because I give everything away. You can't do that. Why? You'll go broke. My father can't go broke. I can give away anything he wants me to give away. And it'll keep the supply, will still be there. I'm not broke yet. I'm not going broke unless he wants me to go broke. If he wants me broke, he'll shut the supply off and won't have nothing. Okay? It doesn't make any difference. God is going to provide for us and we're going to do what he says. And I don't care what anybody else says. See, faith is not just saying, I believe what God said. Faith is not a noun. Faith is a verb, and there has to be an action involved with it. That's why James said in James chapter 2 about 4 or 5 times, faith is dead without action. There's the verb. Don't tell me you love me. Prove it to me. Watch that line, Bob. See, show me you love me. How can you show it to me? Do something. See, initiate again. Do something. See, I'm not telling you to try to come up with some program or some formula on how I can make people think I love them. I'm telling you, do what's in your heart. If you don't love me, then don't do nothing. If you love me, then do something. Show me. And I'm talking about to everybody. Let them read your heart. See, that's what it is, it's your heart. If you're doing it out of duty, you're wasting your time. That's some more of that doo-doo stuff. If you love somebody, you do it because love is in your heart. You don't do it because someone said that's what I should do. You don't do it because the Bible said I have to. That's not out of your heart. That's out of your head. Do it because it's your heart. If you have the heart of God, how can you not do something about it? How can you not love somebody if you have the heart of God? Because God is love. How can you not love somebody? Not Pat will say, I know you got problems, brother. Bless God, I'll pray for you and I'll see you next week. Now, what did I do for that person? Nothing. I'll pray for you. I got the power, brother. I'll pray for you when I think about it, if I think about it, you know. That's not it. Go see them. Go spend time with them. Sit down and talk with them. You'd be surprised the people that call me on the phone from other countries and all over this country, and they say, oh, I got you on the phone. Well, you called me, didn't you? You expect somebody else to answer the phone? They said, well, we call these other ministers. They won't talk to us. I'll sit and talk to them for an hour. I've sat and talked to them for 2 hours, 2.5 hours on the phone long distance. They got questions to be answered. Why should I not give them everything I can give them to help them? Well, let me make an appointment with you and I'll call you back. If I get a chance, I'll call you back. No, they got problems. They called because they were wanting something. The book says, ask and you shall. Okay. God said, ask, you'll get the answer. They give him a number, they call me, I got to give them the answer. If I'm a godly person, I got to give them their answers. I got to try to help them. You see what I mean? I could say, I'm too busy, I don't have time, I got to do other things. But that's not the truth. The truth is I've got to do, people is what it's about. How can I run people away? And that's the very thing that God sent me here to do. Reach his humanity. I got to love them. And I don't got to, it's not, again, out of duty. It's what's in my heart. If I love people, then I can't help it. If I don't love people, I feel terrible. I love to be around people. You ask my wife, day and night, I love to be around people. I'll sit up and talk with you all night. I've done it with a lot of you in here, all night. It doesn't make any difference. Do it all night tonight. Do it all night tomorrow night, too. Get a couple hours sleep and right back at it again. I don't care. I love God. I love to talk about God. I love to share the knowledge that God has given me, the life that he's placed within me. I want to share it. It's so great, I can't contain it in here. I got to let it out. Now, where was that? Starting verse 3? Huh? Okay. The first word is because. Because we which, or we the ones that believe, do enter into his rest or his abode or his resting place. As he said, as I have sworn in my what? This word's desire. This is orge, the Greek word orge. It's not wrath, it's desire. I have sworn in my desire that, not if, but that they shall enter, that they shall enter my. See how it changes the context? Not if, the word if there is the word that. That they shall enter into my rest. It didn't say they're not going to. What did he say? They are going to enter into my rest. He didn't say when, but he said they are going to. Even in his passage, they shall. Even though in unbelief and they dropped in the desert, they're going to enter into my rest. In his time, they're going to enter in. Total change of context there. Okay? He said, they shall enter into my abode, my resting place. Although the works were what? Literally made or finished. From the conception, not foundation. That word foundation is not even the language. It's conception. from the very conception of the cosmos, orderly arrangement, from the orderly arrangement in the mind of humanity, from the time that Adam said, I will be like the Most High God in Isaiah 14. When he said, I'll go to the sides of the north. I'll be like God. There's when Adam set himself up in pride, and there's when the cosmos, the orderly arrangement, was conceived from the conception of the world. That thing was conceived in Adam's heart right there. And when we do the same thing, we conceive it in our hearts. We've got to do what God wants us to do. Nothing to do about what we want. Okay? Because he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day. And that was in Genesis 2, 1 and 2. And God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. If you want to look at it, Genesis 2, 1 and 2. And in this place again, that they shall enter. See, the word if there again is that word that. You know. That they shall enter into my rest. Verse 6, not seeing, but since therefore it remains for some must enter, right, into where? The rest. That they whom it was, to whom it was first preached or previously preached, entered not in because of what? It says unbelief, but the word says disbelief, which is very basic to that. Obstinance and rebellion. Obstinance, rebellion, and unbelief or disbelief is the reasons why they can't enter the rest. If I have a spirit of rebellion in my heart, in my mind, to rebel against what God is saying, just because it's contrary to what someone has taught me most of my life, if I say, no, what did I just do? I just stopped my entrance into the kingdom. I can't enter into his rest because of rebellion in my heart. You know what you should do with something you don't understand? Go look and find out. It ought to be an obsession with you. If anybody says anything you don't believe, you ought to go find out. And you know what will happen one of these days? You'll have a lot of knowledge. You'll have a lot of understanding. I have been lied to from the time I came into what they called the church system. I was lied to. On so many subjects, I can't even begin to tell you. It took me years to filter through them. I'm still filtering through them and finding them. And the things that I say, I have to, whoop, wait a minute, I got to go check that. I said something I'm not sure about because I haven't checked it myself. I got to go back and check it again. I'm still doing things like that because I say things that someone out of my past spoke into me and they weren't true. See, work out your own salvation, your own deliverance with reverence. And fear, with fear and trembling, reverence and trembling. You've got to do this yourself. You can't trust anybody to do it for you. You've got to look through your own eyes, which is the eyes of who? Christ. You'll see it the right way. And see, God doesn't have 4 million sets of eyes looking 4 million directions. He's got one vision, and it's the Father. Everything Christ does, it's to the Father. It's to the Father. Take it to the Father. In that his direction, worship the Father. Give him all glory. Not the Son. Again, verse 7, he limited, right? Limited, and this word limited is not totally correct. I don't like the way limited. He limited a certain day. Literally, the language says he appointed, ordains, or decrees a certain day. So who's in control? Who appointed the day? God did. We didn't have no vote on that, did we? I never got a ballot. Did you? I didn't get one. But he appointed a certain day saying to David, today, and that word today means now. Okay. Now, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, you know what most people do that hears his voice today? They harden their hearts. Why would he say today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart? If most people wasn't hardening their hearts because they're saying something contrary to what their church teaches them. I heard a woman say this, so help me. I wanted to fall over right there and just die in my tracks. I couldn't believe anybody was stupid enough to say it. It was about Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, and the man who was ministering on it said, You know, you're saved by grace through faith, and it's the work of God, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what he was ministering on. And the woman says, "Preacher, I don't believe what you said." And he said, "What's that?" "That we're saved by grace." And he said, "Well, honey, I just preached what the book said." And she said, "I don't care what that book said. My church don't teach it that way." He said, "Well, honey, I'm sorry, but I'm going to teach what the book says." She said, "I don't care if Jesus Christ himself came down and said it. I don't believe it because my church don't teach it." Whoa. Who's her God?
Her church.
Her church. See? Because the people in my church teach it different, and that's what I believe. But I mean, there's people all over the world that believe that way. They absolutely believe that what they hear in the church has to be truth. And I tell you, if you listen to everything you hear, you're a fool and believe it is truth. You have to check it out yourself. I'm trying to do everything in my power to make sure I don't say something wrong to you. But I can't guarantee it. My tongue's in a slippery place, and something's liable to slip right out there. Don't mean to. I might even tell you the wrong scripture or verse, or the address for a scripture and verse. But I don't mean to. But you know what? If you'll go checking, you'll find me if I do. If you go do your homework, you'll find out what I'm doing. If I did it wrong, you'd be able to say, "Hey, brother, you know you missed a verse there? Well, appreciate that." You know what I mean? You're paying attention. Ain't going to offend me. I want you to dig in there. And if me making a few mistakes will help you learn, bless God. Then you can straighten me out so you can help me. Okay, where am I at? Verse 8. "Because if Jesus had not given them rest, then would he not, or did he would not afterward have spoken of another day?" He didn't speak of another day, did he? Yeah, he spoke of today, now. See, now, if you hear the voice, don't harden your heart. It's now. See? "He would not afterward have spoken concerning another day. There remaineth therefore," or literally, "so there remains a rest to the people of God." Now, he said there's something there. They haven't got into it yet. So that he's trying to say that there's a lot of people that haven't got there yet. This is progressive. You understand that? Everybody that starts in the church isn't in the rest. It's a progression that you get to the rest. See? The Jews walked 40 years in the desert to get to the promised land. Type of rest. Jesus walked it 40 days. Which way are you? Somewhere in between there. Hopefully we're on the side closer to 40 days instead of 40 years. Right? They make it a little shorter, a little easier on us. And if we don't get too stiff-necked and hard-headed, the trip won't be as long and hard. The quicker we get a hold of this thing and quit trying to hold to our beliefs and listen to what God says, it's a shorter trip. But when we try to make idols out of what we believe, man, the trip's hard. And it's got to be hot and long and dry. It's going to be tough. It's got to be. That's the only way we can change. Like Bob, you said earlier, you had to go through a whole lot of things, but it's taught you a lot. See? And if we're stiff-necked, hard-headed, the trip's longer and longer and longer and longer until we get it. That's why they went around the mountain for 40 years, because they couldn't learn it the first time around. Jesus went out 40 days, got it over with, and come back and said, "I've finished." See? You can do the same thing if you just don't get hard-headed on him. And I'm not talking to any individual. I'm talking to humanity. Humanity needs to put it away. Verse 10. "Because he that has entered into his abode," or his resting place, "he also has ceased from his own effort as God did from his." When you enter into the rest of God, it's no more, "What can I do? I'm not in any hurry about doing anything." Okay? I wake up in the morning and it's up to Father to direct me what to do. I'm the servant. He's the master. He tells me what to do. I don't have to plan anything. People say, "Well, you can just do anything you want." That's what you think. I can't do what I want. I can't just wander off and do anything I want. I got to wait and hear what he tells me to do. And if he says, "You can have a day off, son," I usually know it's not going to be a day off, because I can just about bet I'm going to run into somebody and I've got things to do. Okay? But I can take a day off out of the office of studying and tapes and writing and all that stuff. I can get out and do something else. But, you know, I'll find something else to do. I'll be ministering somewhere before the day's over, very shortly usually. And see, but that's what I want to do. I've found there's more fun in that than anything in the world. I used to think fishing was my whole life. But now I am fishing in the right way. And it's more fun than I ever was. And all the big fish I ever caught don't mean nothing. This is more fun if I can see one person's life changed. Just one. Noah preached for 400 years and not one was changed. I don't want that kind of a, what do they call it, the epitaph they put on your stone. I don't want nothing like on my, Dave preached 400 years and changed nobody. I know that's not true. I made a lot of them mad anyway. I've changed them one way or another. It don't make any difference. Okay, verse 11. Let us labor, or literally be diligent, therefore, to enter. See, it's not a real labor. Let us be diligent to enter into the abode, lest any man fall in the same example of what? Disobedience, rebellion, obstinance, unbelief. Don't fall in the same pattern. Why do you think it happened to them back there? Paul said, for our learning and admonition, or our teaching and our instruction. Those people fell in the desert to show us what our nature really is. Don't follow that. He said, look, if you go that way, you're going to die in the desert just like them stiff necks did back there. And you know where 99% of the people go? Right out there in that desert. I'll show them I can do it. And God says, you come this way, you got life and peace. And they'll go bull right up against it. Why do they do it? Because they're listening with these growths on the side of their head, and they're not listening with their heart. You listen with your heart, and you can't go the other way. You won't be able to go that way. But sometimes God wants us to go that way for a season, because that's how He trains us. Okay? Where are we at? Because, verse 12, the Word of God, the Logos, that's the spiritual Word of God, is quick, is literally alive, and it's powerful, or it's active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Piercing, that means penetrating even to the dividing or the separating of the soul and spirit. Now here's a big controversy. I hear preachers all the time, soul and spirit can't be divided. That ain't what that book says. What's that book say? Dividing of soul and spirit. The soul is made up of two things, spirit and flesh. And the Word of God is a divider, a separator. And it will separate the soulish from the flesh. You know, the spirit from the flesh. So guess what? If there's only two things in this soul, flesh and spirit, and they come together and they become a living soul in Genesis 2 and 7. Right? Well, then if it separates them two, guess what? There ain't no more. There is no soul, because the Word of God just separated the spirit back to Himself, and the dust returns to the earth from where it came. That's the end of it. Show me a hell. Don't exist there, does it? Spirit returns to God, and the dust returns to the earth. Now, what's anything else there? There's nothing else existent there. We go back to our Father from where we came. And of the joints and the marrow, and is a what? Or a judge of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Now notice he did not say the actions of your body. Why? He's not concerned with this flesh. He's concerned with your heart. Now, it's not your place to change your heart. He said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll do these things in there. Now that you've got the new heart, you've got a little bit of duality here. Now, which one do you want? You want to keep that stony heart, or you want the fleshy heart that He said He'd give you in Ezekiel? Which one do you want? Right? I want the best. And if the stony heart wasn't good enough, and obviously it wasn't, or He wouldn't have brought me another heart, would He? See? I'll take the new one. What am I going to do with the old one? Get rid of it. Cast it, leave it in the Jordan River as you walk across. Walk out about halfway and drop it. And leave it in that river and let it just wash it away. Because that's a river of death. Just let it take it and wash it away. Don't carry it with you no more. Don't carry that thing with you like you have to carry it the rest of your life. It's gone. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Now you think He's talking about beasts out in the field? He's talking about the beasts in us, in our field. Okay, he's talking about us. But all things are naked and open, right? Or exposed, literally, are exposed to the eyes of, eyes, not with, but by which we have the word. That's what it literally says. The word to do there is the word, two words, ho logos. Now, why would they put to do there? Because the word ho is the word the. It's a definite article. And the next word is logos, which is the word word. Okay? I don't know why they put it there, but look in your Strong's Concordance. So let me read it the way it should say it. The last part there says, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him by which we have the word. That's what it says. By which we have the word. The eyes of him is why we have the word. By him we have the word. I don't know where they come with these words. I mean, I don't know. All I know is you can look in your Strong's Concordance and see exactly what I'm telling you. Just go in there and look. I encourage you. Go look. To do. What is those, how do those words come out of that word? Ho logos. See, I don't know where they had somebody helping them do this one. Let's go to 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, literally, not profession like a job, it's our confession, saying that we are with him. We're confessing him. It's the word confession. Because we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling, and that word feeling isn't right, the word should be compassion for. We have a high priest which cannot, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the compassion for our infirmities. Now, why does he have a compassion for our infirmities? Because he walked in flesh and he felt the same things we feel. Isn't that what the book said? He was tested in all ways as we are, right here in the rest of this verse. See? Now, if infirmities, what is infirmity? Somebody tell me what is infirmity? Sickness, disease, all these things. Now, he took all that to the cross. How could he not have experienced it if he says here he experienced it? He has a compassion for us in these things because he knows what it feels like. He walked through it. So these people say he never had a sick day in his life. He never had a germ crawl on his body. I don't think they know what they're talking about. Because when you or I are sick, but like you said earlier, you had a headache. You had to fight through it. You think Jesus ever had a headache? I could think of millions of them running around him. He had a whole bunch of headaches running around him. But I'm saying he had the same infirmities that we have. If he didn't, then he wasn't tested as I am. Because when I hurt, I have to fight through it. And it's tougher. When my back hurts, my head aches, my head starts to ache, my neck hurts, my hands go numb, my legs are on fire from a sciatic nerve, and I still go on and do it. Don't tell me it isn't any harder. If you ain't walked it, don't tell me it ain't any harder. It's harder. So there's a purpose for it. But it's not going to stop me. It didn't stop him. But I'm going to tell you, he felt everything you can feel. You can't come up with an acre of pain that he did not feel. If he didn't, then he was not the sacrifice everybody said he was. And see, I know he was. I know he was that sacrifice. I know he felt the pain that I feel. He took care of it. I don't care what anybody says about it. He felt it. And it says right here, he had compassion for those things, those infirmities. But as in all points... The word points in there. But in all, he was tempted or tested like as we are. Well, if I'm tested in it, then how could he not have done the same thing? Make sense? If we're tested in it, he had to be tested in it. Come on. Yet what? Without what? The word literally is separate from, but he did it, but he was separated from the sin in it. Now, he never gave in. Never gave in. He felt everything you feel. He was tempted by that thing in his head, that serpent talking to him, just like he talks to you every day of your life. But he never said yes. No. I don't buy it. No. What did the temptation in the desert? The serpent talked to him, right? What did he say? It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written. It is written. Every time he speaks to you, it is written. Tell him what God says. Every time your head speaks to you, tell it what God said. God said, I'm a son, destined to reign. I'm victorious over top of all that thinking thing in my head. And the beast was more subtle than any beast of the field that we created. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He give you power over all the power of the enemy. That's all you got to tell him. I ain't got to listen to you. You can't tell me nothing. The only one tells me is my Father. My Father tells me what. What's in my head don't tell me nothing. You've got to make the choice. Now there's a choice. You can't choose to come to God, or you can't come to choose some of them other things, because God chose your birthright. You don't. Did any of your children choose their birthrights? Did anybody else's children choose when they wanted to get born? We don't have no choice in that. What we have a choice is to obey or disobey. That's all it is. Am I going to obey what my Father says, or am I going to do what I want to do? Who's the king? Are you king, or is he king? He's king. He gets the say of whatever goes on. But he did it without sin. Now, Job, remember what I said a while ago? Perfect, upright, loved God, hated evil, but he hadn't been tested yet, had he? But you know what it said about Job? It said in all the things that he did not sin with his mouth. How many can say that? He did not sin with his mouth. Now, why did he sin? Why did he say sin with his mouth? Because out of the abundance of heart, the mouth spoke. He never spoke doubt and unbelief. He came back against all his friends, they call them. Right? He said, nah, I ain't going to believe you guys. God said. God said. It works every time. Works every time. God said. It is written. If you don't believe it, it'll never work. Okay, where am I at? 16. Let us therefore, the word let us shouldn't even be there. Therefore, the word let us shouldn't even be there. Those are added words. Therefore, approach with boldness to the throne of grace. Okay. Approach with what? Well, can I come in, Father? Can I come in? That's why the church is, well, I don't know if we can come in or not. Have I been good? Did I do enough Our Fathers or something this morning? Or have I been good all week? Can I come in? He said, approach with boldness. Walk in. Come on, Father. Here I am. Don't be ashamed of nothing. You might even have some dirt on your clothes, but he can get them clean. He said, approach the throne boldly. Step on out there. Don't be afraid of anything. That we may what? Obtain. Literally the word is take hold of. Get a hold of it. That we can get a hold of what? Compassion. Because the thing the church don't have is compassion. They have no compassion. They say, oh, we have mercy and we have grace. Yeah, for the ones you like and the rest of them, you're going to try to send to hell. That's not compassion and mercy. Compassion is to everyone, unconditional. I don't have to like what they do. I don't like a lot of things they do. But I still love them. And I will not treat them any different no matter what they do to me. I've had all kinds of people treat me real nasty. And you know what? I love them just the same. Jesus said, you heap coals of fire on their head when you do that. Give them a drink when they're thirsty. Feed them when they're hungry. It's all right. You want to act like the world? You go act like the world. But see, if Christ is in you, you can't act like the world. You go out there and tell that dog I just see run across the parking lot out there, go out and tell him as a bird and see if he can fly. Can he? You know why? Dog knows he can't fly. He ain't going to stand out there and flop his legs and try to fly. He's just going to take off walking on and ignore you. Because he's a dog and he knows what his program is. And see, sons of God don't know their program. They don't know what they are. They're living in the earthly realm trying to say, I'm in the heavenlies, and they ain't never got there yet. And I call that wannabes. They want to be sons of God. If you're going to be a son of God, be a son of God. Because he said, when he foreordained them, he foreknew, he did predestined or predetermined, conformed to the image of his son. He was a son from the moment of thought in his mind. You was a son, and you can't be anything else. But if your mind, you want to believe what that mind tells you, you're not going to be there. Someday you'll get there when you die and fly. It ain't going to happen. Either you are a son or you're not a son. You're a saint or you're an ain't. Which way is it? You can't have anything else. You is or you ain't. Now, he says that we may get hold of the compassion and find grace to help in the time of opportunity. Ooh, that changed it, didn't it? See, we say need, we don't think of the depths of it. But it says that we find grace to aid people in the time of opportunity. Sure. Opportunity is just when somebody needs something. See? But now, I'm not telling you to run down the street and look for something to do. That's not what God told you to do. Jesus said, I never did anything my Father didn't tell me to do. See? So what should we do? We see a need, should we jump on it? You never minister from the need. You minister from the lead of the Spirit. God said it to me years ago, 10, 11 years ago, and he showed me an example. It went on right in front of my face. I saw a girl that was really struggling in something. And this guy jumped up and he was going to go do, I was talking to this man and his wife, and this guy jumped up and he was going to go do some deliverance on this girl, and she jumped up and blowed a couple hairs he had on his head clear back over his neck, scared him, pinned him right up against the wall and scared him to death. God said, you see that? Mm-hmm. He said, don't you ever do that. He ministered from the need and not from the lead. Because I saw the same thing and God told me to leave it alone. And he jumped up and tried to do it. He let me see that as an example. See? I thank God for it. Now I'm not quick to jump up to do things. I want to hear what Father has to say. Because if God's in control, my timing can't do anything wrong if I listen to him. If I don't hear God in my life, I see something that has need, and I have no urgency in my spirit to do anything, I'm not going to do anything. I don't care what I see going on. And then when I feel that urgency, now I know it's time. Listen to God speak in your heart. Don't get upset just because the world gets upset. Someone's hurt. Oh my God. They run all over the place. Wait a minute. How about calming down? You know, you being calm might be just what that person needs. When they're panicking, your peace may be just what they need. I've had the opportunity to do that before. Didn't even know why I was going down a road heading home and end up driving north. I was coming home, and a man got hit with a motorcycle. A motorcycle hit the back end of a car right in front of me. He went up in the air and flew 20 or 30 feet through the air and come down and hit the pavement. I just swung a truck off the pavement, jumped out, went over to him. Everybody else left. He said he was a Christian. And I said, well, I am too. That's why I'm here. And he said, would you pray for me? And I began to pray, and everybody left. Everybody got away. I was praying in tongues. And they couldn't have it, and they all went away. State Patrol came, and those people all came back after I prayed for them. All the other people came back, you know, standing around, and the State Patrol run them all off and let me stay. And I never asked him to. He just said, you can stay. All the rest of you get out here. And I stayed with him until the ambulance got there, and he got in the ambulance. And they even called him, didn't they, later. He come out of it all right. Never even broke a bone. Running 50-some mile an hour and hit his brakes. He slid about 6 feet before he hit the back of the car, went up over top of the car, come down on the asphalt, never broke a bone. See, listen to God. I didn't know why I turned north. I was coming home. And it happened right in front of me. You don't know what God wants you to do. God will tell you when he wants you to do it. All you have to do is be prepared. And as I said earlier, as long as you're in jail, how can you help somebody else? See, if I'm so bound up in my time that I don't have time to divert from my normal course of life if I feel God wants me to go that way. And, well, I can't go that way. I've got to be home because I got to do this. I wouldn't have been there to do what I was told to do. Just a minor thing as far as we see it. We don't know what it did in that man's life. I don't know. Haven't seen him since. Doesn't make any difference. I did what I felt God wanted me to do and went on. You've got to be free in this. You can't keep yourself bound up to this world and the things this world so tight and be able to minister for God. You can't. You've got to be able to go wherever he wants you to go. And I encourage you, man, be free. It's the greatest life in the world. I won't have a lot of money, but I got something better than money. I've got life. So, questions from anybody? I'm going to turn that off while I go. Let that thing run.
Go ahead. Is anybody got anything? If you don't, well, that's just one side. What is it, Pastor? Y'all got to pray.